to take a little time first this morning, then we're going to ask Elder Buddy Abernathy to come and take the balance of the time this morning. So please be in prayer for both of us, if you will. I've had to wrestle this morning with what's on our mind. Pray for us. I want to notice a passage you'll find in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. I'll explain a little bit more in a minute as to why I've been wrestling with this. I literally looked for something else, but this is what's on my mind and my heart. And I feel like I need to deal with this passage this morning and what time we take. Brother Buddy, you may have to go past 12 today. It's already about 10 after. Just announcing that to everyone. So in case you're watching, you watch. Hope you found Matthew 7 by now. Verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I can't change my past. Neither can you. But today is before me. I've got choices that I can make today. Every little thing we do is a choice. And it'll either glorify God or it'll be after the flesh. You believe that? Absolutely. You see, choices come in all sizes. They impact us in different ways, varying ways. Sometimes huge. Sometimes inconsequential. But every time, it helps to point our life's pathway. Every time. Big or small. And this morning, I'm so reminded of the day after my brother died of a heart attack. He was 43 years old. He looked like the picture of health. He was at work. He had a heart attack. The doctor said he probably was dead before he hit the floor. One of those widow makers. We heard the report of Brother Chris. We pray that's not the case with him. But the next, I've shared this with you before, but the next morning, that happened to be on a Saturday, and when Sunday morning when we got to church and some of the members had heard of what had happened in our family, and some of the deacons came to me and said, if you don't feel like preaching today, we understand. I said, oh no. I have a renewed hatred for sin this morning. I have a reason to stand and proclaim the glory of God and the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the forgiveness that we have through the blood of Jesus and the sufferings that he endured for us. I have a renewed desire to preach the word of God. And I have a burning desire that God's people hear it and receive it in their hearts and follow it. It'll be for your good, and it'll be for the glory of God. And don't we need more of that in our world today? We need that. And so, Whether it's a good choice we make or whether it's a bad choice, Satan is right there. Sin is at the door. He's looking for any opportunity he can to pull us away from the will of God. The battle is raging. It's not imaginary, but much of it is in our mind and in our heart. Oh, how we need the influence of God's word upon our every choice that we make each day, which may be thousands of times throughout that day, unless you're sleeping all day. Really? I mean, every little thing we do, we have to make choices. He's at every door, he's at every gate, he's every way. You know, the eye gate. Temptations can be there. I guess there's an ear gate. What are you listening to? What are you hearing? You know, there's no wonder that some people who grow up in a culture where all they ever hear is ungodliness, there's no wonder where their mind and their heart is. Oh, that's why it's so needful for have to surround ourselves with good things, with good words, with wholesome words, with godliness, and with good things to listen to guard our heart and our mind all day long. Anything Satan can do to lessen our witness, to lessen our discipleship, to distract us, he's wanting to do that. And if he gets a nibble, you ever been fishing? You know, I'm talking about with a line and a cork, you know, that kind of fishing. You see a little nibble, you get excited, don't you? Do you know Satan does the same thing when he gets a little nibble at a temptation that he puts out there in front of somebody? Some enticement that he puts out there and somebody responds instead of shooing it away? Turning away from it, like Proverbs tells us to do, turn away. Go not that way. Satan gets a little nibble. He begins to smile. My prayer for you today is that you don't give him anything to smile about. Because that's what he wants. He's not your friend. He'll tell you he's your friend. He's not your friend. Peter says he's like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. He wants to tear up your life. He wants to tear up your home. He wants to tear up your families. He wants to tear up your churches. Seek whom he may devour. That's what he's out there for. Everything that he does is to lead us away from God and godliness. Is there a need for us to keep our mind and our heart on the Lord? Amen. You've already got this old flesh that you carry with us all, you carry with you all the time. You know, Elder Goins, in that song that he wrote that's in our hymn book, he talked about the flesh is our closest foe. You carry it with you all the time. Be careful what you feed. Are you feeding the old man? Are you feeding the new man? Are you feeding the things of the flesh? Or are you feeding the things of the spirit? I'm not talking about legalism. I'm talking about knowing that God has blessed us to know that his way is right. His way is the truth. His way is what will bring the most joy and happiness and peace in our life. That's the truth. Satan, all he has is lies and enticements. Those enticements look good up front. They appeal to the flesh, but there's sadness and sorrow and heartache and sometimes death that follows. The Bible's full of expressions that warn us. You know, we read, enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And the Bible is full of exhortations to cause us to think about what we're doing and choose the right way. Let's see. Remember Elijah. Why halt ye between two opinions? If God be God, serve him. If Baal be God, serve him. Why halt ye between two opinions? Let's see, what did Joshua say? Choose you this day whom you will serve. Remember? I'm just bouncing around here, but there's plenty of ways, plenty of exhortations in the scriptures. When John the Baptist came preaching, and when Jesus came preaching, what did they say? Repent. If God has worked in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, if he's blessed you with a hearing ear, and if he's blessed you to see that you're headed the wrong direction, repent. It's a choice. But it's a choice that you can make as long as that door of opportunity is open. My persuasion is that at some point, if you resist, that door will close. And in the scripture, in the New Testament, when God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased," he also said, "Hear ye him." And the writer of Hebrews says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Do you realize that every bad choice you make, in some degree, hardens your heart against God? If it's little, you may not notice it. If it's big, you might notice it. But I'm going to tell you, every bad, and when I'm talking about bad choice, I'm talking about something that's away from godliness. Every bad choice hardens our heart. It makes us a little more dull of hearing. And a little less sensitive to the Word of God. If this tragedy that has touched this family and this church here lately has not broken your heart, you're in sad shape. Jeremiah 4 says, "Break up the fallow ground. Sow not among thorns." You know, in agriculture here in recent years, they've experimenting with no-till farming. And not have to spend the time and the resources to break up the ground. Just go ahead and drill something in the ground right where it is, where the old crop was growing, maybe the weeds are growing. Just no-till farming. Just try to put the seed in there and see what happens. And it's being practiced in a lot of ways. Do you know a lot of God's people are trying to practice no-till Christianity? The hearts are not broken for sin. And the struggles that others are having around about them. And they're so focused on what they want to do and their little world. And they're not following the example of loving God and loving one another. They're too busy loving themselves. Oh, bless your hearts. May God help us to listen to the Word of God. You know, what would have happened on the day of Pentecost when God blessed in such a mighty outpouring of His Spirit if Peter had said, "Now y'all go home and think about this and come back and we'll talk about baptism tomorrow"? I doubt any of them would have come back. We can laugh at that, but I believe it's true. Believe it's true. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Enter ye in at the straight gate. That straight gate, that word doesn't have a GH in it. You know, straight, just straight. It's S-T-R-A-I-T, if I'm spelling it correctly. It's different. It means a difficult way. Difficult way. Like I said, we carry this old flesh around with us all the time. It's there. It can rear its ugly head in an instant. Oh, how we need to be careful of the choices that we make. Another one of those warnings, Jeremiah 6:16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." I didn't finish the verse. This is Jeremiah preaching to a very sinful nation. And the rest of that verse says, we will not walk therein. Choices. Choices. Every bad choice hardens your heart. Take this personally. First of all, take it personally. Remind yourself of this truth. Then if the Spirit directs, take it to someone else. But don't think, oh, so-and-so needs to hear this. No, you need to hear this. You need to lay it to heart. You need to heed this. Then take it. Share it. Considering yourself. Speaking the truth in love. But then, share it with someone else. This is not for those that are puffed up with knowledge. Not just for those that are puffed up with knowledge. It's not just for those that thinketh he standeth, you know, take heed. He that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Not just for them. Not just for those that have some knowledge and think they know how to live and can neglect the word of God and neglect feeding their soul. It's for all of us. Every one of us. Even if you've been at this for 80 years or 90 years, 100 years, you still need it. Still need the reminder of God's word. We still need to be feeding the new man, putting on the new man, which is renewed in godliness, in righteousness. We need this word of God every day. We need to be feeding on it. Need to be reminded because we sometimes we're working so hard on some area of our life, we kind of forget some other areas. If you're like me, I got a lot of work to do on me. And I need it. And the Word of God is so good. I mean, it's when I say so good, that pales, doesn't it? I mean, it's the perfect food for our soul. How many times have you sat down to read the Word of God thinking you were looking for something and something else was brought to your attention? And that something else was what the Holy Spirit gave you because it was what you needed instead of what you thought you needed. I don't know how many times I've done that. I don't know how many times I've sat down to study out a subject and I kept going over here and over there and over there, and I kept leaving where I was, but eventually that brought me back to where I was. Because there's so much about the Word of God that we need to be reminded of that perhaps we're not thinking of, but Lord knows exactly what we need. Read the Word on a regular basis. Don't just major on Psalm 23. A long time ago I heard a preacher say, sometimes we're reading in the Word of God and it convicts us, and we say, where's Psalm 23? And start reading there. No, let the word of God break up the fallow ground. Sow not among thorns. You know, the New Testament, Matthew 13, tells us what happens if you sow among thorns. It's like you still got the cares of the world and the riches and the pleasures. They're still there, but they choke out the effect of the word. But break up the fallow ground. Keep our heart tendered before the Lord. And submit ourselves to thy will. We sang that song, didn't we? Thy will, not mine, O Lord. It's because the Lord knows what's best. He knows what we need. And his blessings are just exactly suited to us. The broad gate. About to close here. The broad gate. I think that's largely the way of the flesh. You know, like in Judges, twice we're told that there was no king in Israel in those days, and every man did what seemeth good or seemeth right in his own eyes. And if you're making your decisions based upon what you think on your own, you're headed for trouble. You're probably already there. We need God's word guiding us. We need God's word instructing us. We need God's word filling us with his spirit. So that as we choose, we have a filter. We have a filter. We have something that warns us. We have something that guides us. We have something that tells us what's profitable. We need that. How often we neglect the word of God. I've heard so many jokes over the years about dust on the Bible, or people, preacher comes along and they get out the Bible and open it up, and there's a pair of scissors. Brother Ferris used to tell that story all the time. There's a pair of scissors, and the sister says, I've been looking for those scissors for 6 months. Well, we can laugh at that if we want to, but God's not laughing at it. You know, good for nothing is found twice in the Bible. That phrase, good for nothing. That's a test. I told you this before. And both times, it has to do with people who had rejected the word of God. The salt has lost its savor. It's thenceforth good for nothing. You're the salt. If you lost your savor, if you've rejected the word of God, if you've gone your own way, we're good for nothing. The broad way, the way of the flesh. He says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Remember when I said a moment ago from Hebrews where the writer says, harden not your hearts. I was quoting for chapter 4, but if you back up to chapter 3, that's mentioned again. And it talks about as in the day of provocation. And that was at Kadesh Barnea, when the spies had been sent over to see if it was the good land that God said it was. And the spies came back, and all 12 of them said, yes, it's a good land, just like God said. And they even brought evidence of it. But then 10 of the 12 spies said, but there's giants in the land, and we're not able to take it. Did God ever send them over there to see if they could take it? God sent them over there to verify what he had said about it. Since when was God depending upon their strength for their deliverance? He just delivered them across the Red Sea. He just fought battles for them. Bless your hearts. If God calls upon us to do something, he'll give us the wherewithal and the ability and the opportunity to do it. We just have to step out on faith. We need not harden our hearts. And by the way, The contrast here is a broad way, and many there are that go in thereat. But then there's a narrow way, and few there be that find it. You know, I suspect on that day of provocation, when the people wailed and wept that there was giants over there and they couldn't take the land, and Joshua and Caleb was trying to encourage the people, listen, if God's with us, we can take it. That's my version of it. Do you realize there was probably about 2 million people against 2? A broad way and a narrow. On that occasion, it was about, now Moses was in the middle here, but you had about 2 million people complaining, and there was only 2 saying, if God's with us, we're able to take it. That's quite a difference, isn't it? But who was right? The 2 were right. And later, they were blessed. But it took 40 years in the wilderness before they were able to go in. And Caleb, who then was what, 86 or 85? 85 maybe. He said, I want that mountain where those giants are. It was 85 or 86. Remember? One or the other. 40 years. But at 85 or 86, whichever one he was, he said, I want that mountain. I've waited for 40 years. I added that. I've waited for 40 years. I want that mountain. Because God's able to deliver us. May God help us in every choice we make to enter in at the straight gate. To remember his promises. To remember his word. To remember his glory. And to remember, it's the best way. It may look like the hardest way, but it's the best way for joy and peace and happiness in this life. And it's the only one that'll give glory to God. May God bless you, is our prayer. Hilda Abernathy. If I'm